Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Charles.
I'm Drew.
Charles and Drew are back. No worse from where eyeballs are starting to heal, chests are starting to not be bruised.
Denim is being slowly added to the wardrobe bit by bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
The guys are slowly adding denim to their Amazon wish list.
Yes.
Yep.
Chris, how are you doing today?
Got some good denim cleaner going on over here.
Yeah.
I'm good today. It's good.
It took you so long. What are you doing over there? You asleep?
Yep. It's too early for me.
Yeah, too early. It's too late. You're the freaking Goldilocks of time.
Exactly.
All right. Let's do this thing. We're on minute 114. 114 begins with Ethan landing on his face and ends with the arrival of the helicopter. So we get to see the end of that sweet double kick. He lands double on kick, his yeah. face. If you look at second one, there's a shot of Tom Cruise's face planted in the sand with his legs above his head. And I'm like, you got to learn to kick better. You got to learn to kick better. It's just, I understand
I don't
what they were doing.
Better, and, but it's more, you know, he does everything full bodied, full heart. You know, he doesn't think maybe
bodied.
about the landing part of it. He just wants to kick.
Look, you kick with no regard for your own face. That's how it goes.
You know that saying that everybody says, kick like nobody's watching. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's become a better fighter in films since this film. But, I mean, he's really given it his all in this.
We've talked about it in earlier minutes, guys. We talked about his slow-motion action face. When he's doing some of these flips that we know he did, his mouth, he's like, he's worked on it since.
Right.
I think what happened in this movie was, after the movie, he's like, oh, damn, I open my mouth a lot when I'm doing this because I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm not a professional at doing this. This isn't second nature. I'm pretending to be a guy who does this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's, like, shocked
right. That
it's happening as he does it. Nowadays, you don't even think about his action scenes. You're like, yeah, he's great.
I have no doubt that Tom Cruise has spent hours in front of a mirror kicking and punching to practice what his face looks like.
Yeah.
Probably a person. Probably hired somebody
just
to kick
and punch.
I'd do it. Hell, I'd do it.
Yeah, I would take those kicks and punches. Why not? As long as I'm wearing my denim, I'm good.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Cruise, there's a guy at the door who's wearing all denim. He says he's here for an appointment.
Bring him in. There's a nice cutaway to the water that's kind of a roiling, kind of like the ocean's very active in that moment. I'm really into that. Not a wave, a wave crashing, but just kind of a
simmering,
churning. Yeah. I love that.
And the music really, really, really amps up in the scene with the drums just going full
out.
Oh,
yeah. I love the drums in this. Yeah. It's really great. Yeah. Like kind of heavy, like timpani or something like that. Like really cool.
Yeah.
I love that music cue.
I do too.
I like how it transitioned from the gladiator style, the injection sound, the injection motif that they had earlier into the tribal drum. Because it's not, it'd be cliche if it was like the Mission Impossible, like percussion. Like if it actually dun 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 like it's coming in, it's not, and I like it. It's also very subtle. Like it's real quiet. You can mostly just hear their kicks and grunts.
Yeah. I mean, it's subtle music. I get that. It's better than the Con Air score that we had last week.
Oh, were you guys watching Con Air?
No. It just the music.
No,
sounded
we were watching
like
this
Con Air
movie.
Motorcycle
the music
sequence.
I got excited.
Yeah, if we could talk about what minute 114 of Con Air, I think I would be much more into that.
Yeah, this entire week, Drew's just going to tell us the movies he'd rather watch at it instead of this minute.
Virtually this anything movie. Else, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you say that now, but get into Mission Impossible 3, and then you'll be like, oh, I long for Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, if you could just have Charles on for the wedding scene in Mission Impossible
3. Oh, God, please no.
We've talked about this early on. I had only seen this in the movie theater and then like one other time before we started this season. Like one, I'd seen a million times. All the other ones, three through six or five, I've seen a bunch of times. But two, I'd only seen twice. I have a slight grudging appreciation for the action. I do not. It is brought out of every other flaw, though, Drew. I'm with you on everything else because I keep telling Chris, why am I watching this? Because there's parts of it where I'm like, I'm just like, it just doesn't, it's not, It's not good. It's not even good. We've talked. It's not good.
You're not only watching it, you're dissecting it minute by minute.
Yeah.
I get why you'd question it.
To me, it's become worse as a film because of the minute by minute thing.
Yeah.
For me, at least, you know.
Yeah. This is the equivalent of injecting a toxin into your system and then slowly dying over the course of however many 200 episodes or whatever you guys are going to do.
Not just the 20 hours that Naya gets, or the 31 hours, whatever the inconsistent number of hours it is in the movie.
Yes.
You're getting this over a full year.
Yeah. God bless whoever's still listening to this 115 episodes in.
It is to me the worst of the six, but I do enjoy it. I still find it enjoyable. There's shots that are really cool. I love John Woo. It's very much compromised John Woo, but that's still worth watching.
Yeah, I would rather have it be a John Woo movie.
Yes, I would love to see what John Woo would do if he just had the cut. And he just did whatever he wanted with it and just had blood squibs everywhere and just did it full on, like hard boiled or face off style.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all feel that way. We feel there's a better movie in here and that he wasn't allowed to do it. Or he did it and they cut it out because the original 3.5 hours, as you guys of course know, the movie was longer. And I'm wondering what else was in there. Like what other action set pieces were done. And it's one of those things that's lost to the universe.
More violence. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good name for this episode, just to call it Mission Impossible 2, Longer and More Violent.
Yeah, John Woo I wanted to go to this screening last week, but I couldn't because I'm on this job right now that's really intense. But there was a screening last week at the Egyptian here in LA. It was John Woo doing a Q&A between Face Off and Hard Boiled, and they were both on 35mm, and I wanted to go so badly. But a friend of ours went. Who is a big John Woo fan.
Oh, wow.
And he told us about, someone asked John Woo about, you know, the making of Face Off, and he was talking about Face Off and how the studio head, I forget who it was someone, some great studio head person, who I think it was a woman.
Sherry Lansing.
I think it might have been Sherry Lansing, who was like, I just want a John Woo movie. Let him do whatever he wants. And that's how they got Face Off. And John Woo made some comment at this Q&A about how, you know, it was very different in other circumstances where he was surprised how much control a movie star could have over a movie. And what this friend of ours told us was that it was very much, it sounded like he was talking about Mission Impossible 2.
Well, it's not,
and how hard it was.
Well, he said, are you talking about Cage or Travolta? And he said, no.
Right.
And so I was like, okay.
So he's talking about
process of elimination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would love,
it certainly wasn't Van Damme.
We would love to get John Woo.
At
some point. We're trying. It's hard.
It's hard.
I don't know if he would even do it.
I hope he listens to our podcast and hears my impression of him, which is spot on, by the way, and comes on our show. Just so you know, we made him Southern because we didn't want to do any stereotypes. So he's like basically Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to be racist, basically.
We didn't want to be that sort of stereotypical, but, you know, making fun of Southerners.
Southerners, that's okay.
Yeah,
as a Southerner, I have felt like I was like, well, let's do it in my accent. I'll just play it up. But Brian De Palma, he's staying Italian, even though he doesn't talk with an Italian accent. I don't care. That's who he is.
He sounds Pacino-esque.
He sounds like Pacino.
I like that.
This is, we're at the kind of the end of the fight.
Yeah.
He's doing his finishing move up against the final boss. He does yet another flip. This is the full body flip. The full body, this is really Tom Cruise doing it slow-mo shot into a poor stuntman who is selling it.
Right.
Because if you look at between second 13 and 14, if you actually watch the position that the stuntman is in, his legs are bent. He is ready to fly. He has his hands in front of him. He is ready to fly back.
Yes, he is. He's going to receive that kick, and he's going to bounce off of it beautifully, I think.
Also, it looks like the sand has doubled in thickness before this.
Didn't Dorey Scott get hurt on this movie? Have you guys figured out where that moment is where he got hurt?
I didn't know.
Yeah, that
hurt.
Was one of. So there's sort of like competing schools of thought about why he couldn't do X-Men, and apparently one of them was that he got hurt on Mission Impossible 2 and couldn't heal up in time for X-Men.
That kind of feels like the guy Chaz getting a sprain and back to school of his ankle before he goes into this big swim meet dive. Coach, I've got a really bad cramp. Yeah. It feels a little bit like that, kind of like, oh man, Hugh Jackman just took over this part and he's killing it.
Right.
Oh well, that's okay because I was hurt. I have a pulled muscle.
Right.
It feels a little bit like not that he would say that, but that maybe his people would kind of spin.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was wondering if maybe you guys, I mean, minute by minute, maybe
you
found the moment where his, you know, where ankle was shattered or whatever, yeah.
Maybe the fact that you haven't found it says more.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that was a thing, and I'm trying to think back, you would notice if he got hurt. To be fair, he's not done a lot.
That's true.
He's not moved around in a physical way, and in these scenes, I don't know how much of this he's doing. I mean, he is punching at Ethan. So.
He also, I mean, I assume probably most of all, of, if not all of them, are stuntmen, but he does get kicked in this minute alone like 10 times. I don't even know if I could stand in place and kick 10 times in a minute. But
I've seen you move. I don't think you could do that.
I've seen you move.
Yeah,
but I mean the stuntmen for him are getting their ass sort of handed to them throughout the entirety of this minute.
You have to,
yeah.
This is it. This is the final stuff. This is the multi-camera, different. You know, this is where John Woo excels.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I still feel like this is a compromised John Woo moment. I honestly don't think John Woo is that interested in hand-to-hand combat.
No.
He enjoys different things entering the picture, whether it's horses, speedboats, you know, things like that. Like
And guns.
And he loves gunplay, and there's just nothing. He also doesn't like this kind of, like, barren landscape. He likes things that can explode.
He
wants sparks. He wants, you know, bullet hits.
Sliding, you know, jumping.
How great would it be if out of nowhere two horses with horseback riders just comes into frame?
Oh, that would be great.
That's the kind of thing he would love. I mean,
they go from the motorcycles to horses, from horsepower to horsepower.
They should have started fighting on the beach and then gone on the ski-doos that just happened to be by the beach.
He would have.
Now you're talking.
Now that's John Woo.
Now you're talking.
Have a little jet ski chase.
Okay. First of all, that's Face Off.
No. Those are boats. That's a different thing.
I know. It's close enough. Second of all, just so you guys know, this is not a gentle lapping beach. This is a precipice like 20 feet high. That cliff face, it looks like it's an optical illusion that the water's like, oh, it's just lapping up against it. Go look at picture. I'll send you of Malabar Headlands. I'll send you what it looks like. This is a treacherous cliff face.
Then it would have been more interesting, you know?
Yeah, all the more reason down to jump off the cliff with a jet ski.
I think the difference between...
with a jet ski.
The difference between this and the end of Fallout is that the area of Fallout is very limited so that you see the cliff face, you see the mountains in the background, whatever.
It's very well shot and well established where your boundaries are.
But this beach is so expansive that you know, you're right. It is very sort of like dangerous and intimidating.
And a helicopter lands on it. I didn't know there was enough room for a helicopter, but it's like
the
no
fact
problem.
There is room for a helicopter, I think it's telling you that it's maybe not as heightened as it could be if they had chosen a different location or shot it differently, I guess, but it is a little flat.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I can't tell. It feels like they're just relying on the fighting. And in Fallout, we'll keep going to Fallout because that's the perfect Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're stuck in a crag in the side of a mountain, and the crag becomes part of the thing they got to get out of. As opposed to this is just flat land.
No, it looks like it's flat land beach. Like they're like right by the water, you know?
Well, and that's something that McQuarrie and Bird and De Palma do so well is that there are always these like complications that arise, and there is really nothing. There's no escalation of anything.
Yeah, there's no up in the ante like there was in Fallout where it's like, oh crap, they're over the side of the mountain. Now they're in the crack of it.
Yeah.
Now something something keeps happening that makes you go oh, and we don't have any of that in this.
It's just sort of a sustained...
Outside of, look at him kick. Yeah. Oh, look at him kick this way.
Yeah, it's tonally it's the same, you know, and it's just very flat and boring. And why did I agree to this is what I'm trying to ask you.
How can I get out of this?
What's that? Because
you guys are partners in this, and you have to do it.
We're partners
does.
In life and in podcasting. Yeah. We know that we're bound.
We're bound together in this closet.
Yes.
It is literally a recording closet.
It is. That is not a metaphor. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to talk about the kick at second 38, if we can.
Mm-hmm.
The kick. Yeah. I feel like, how mad were they at the stuntman for turning his head the wrong way?
Oh, he turned it toward them.
Or did they want him? Were they like, yeah, just cheat it and go toward camera? Because it doesn't look like his head should have gone that way. It looks like he went the wrong way.
You know, I wonder if some of the stunt people who maybe hadn't worked with Wu, if maybe they were like local Australian crew or something, don't know that he shoots with five cameras at five different speeds. And, you know, this will just go by in an instant, but that it ends up being sort of elongated in the Wu of it all.
He also lands with his head on the rock. How does he not knock
out?
Yeah,
that's what makes me go, oh, that looks painful.
Yeah.
Or dead.
But hey, when the rock is made of styrofoam, it doesn't matter.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I think if this was a real John Woo movie, that rock head collision would have been accompanied by a fairly large spray of blood. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, maybe he's got a denim helmet on that we can't see.
That's true.
No, it's true. Or his hair is made of denim.
Yeah. And maybe you guys can help. Maybe you guys can see it better than I can. I'm slowing down the kick in full frame. I'm on my full screen here. Mm-hmm. Is this stuntman wearing a wire to pull him backwards? Because he launches.
He's flying.
Higher than I feel like a human could launch. It just seems so high. Or is he on some sort of, unless he's on some sort of pressure plate that also, you know, pushes him up?
Well, you know, second, I mean, they did launch themselves off those motorcycles.
Yeah, it's definitely he's on some kind of rig that
is pulling him backwards.
Do you see his feet? Could he be on kind of a could he be on some kind of like, you know, rig? Because you don't see the bottom of his feet, so he could have also been propelled upwards that way.
I think he's pulled.
It could just be a really good kick.
Yeah, I think he's being pulled.
It could just be a really good kick. Drew's on the side of.
I'm believing everything.
I believe in the magic of Tom Cruise's
yeah,
kicks.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I love Tom Cruise looking up at him like, yeah, fly, you son of a bitch.
Hey, you magnificent denim bird, fly.
Yeah,
hey, he's like telling the stuntman before this, he's like, hey, man, I'm going to kick you really hard. You don't even have to sell it. Just go limp and just let it happen. Let it happen.
Yeah. Or he gave the guy pulling the rig a $20 bill and said, you know, really yank this guy out far so that my kick really looks even better. But oh my god, that hair! Oh! Tom's hair at the end of
love
that
the
shot.
Hair.
Just
yeah, where is this?
We're the only ones that like the hair.
Second 58, second 59.
Only the men like the hair. All the women hate the hair in this movie. Every woman we've had on this podcast hates the hair.
Yeah, no, we've talked
Kendra James.
Yeah.
Kendra James was on our podcast. She had We had Kendra James on our podcast, who she runs StarTrek.com.
Yep, Star Trek.
She she is obsessed with Tom Cruise and MI2, like loves the way he looks.
Awesome.
Maybe not so much anymore,
does.
But when she was a kid, right? Yeah. I don't want to mischaracterize what she said.
I think she still loves him.
But she's very into his hair in MI2.
I feel like the four is like kind of like the refined like version of this haircut. Like, he still has a day job, and for this one, is just like wild Cruise.
He's a wild animal.
Ugh.
Of course. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm surprised that all the kicking machine you have out on your show don't like it.
Yeah.
And the end of this minute wraps up with a nice little button of Billy and Luther finally showing up with the helicopter, we assume with Naya. And from what we can tell, I think Sean Ambrose is dead. That's what we're all thinking.
Like, yeah, sure, he's dead.
We think he's dead.
Of course, yeah.
I would check his pulse, but that's just
me. There's no chance he's coming back. That's for
no
sure.
No way.
No.
No way.
All right. Great. Great. Well. Using those predictions, we'll go into tech of the episode, and maybe we'll find a tech, and we'll move on to minute 115, where maybe we'll learn how they took care of his body, since he's definitely not coming back to life. Drew, we've hurt you a lot this week so far. If you feel like you can do a spin kick, Chris, come over here.
Okay.
Stand right here on this mark.
I think I can do it.
Now, Drew, I'd like you to. I'm going to. Charles and I are going to walk way over here. I'd like you to try and do your best spin kick on Chris.
All right, here we go.
His depth perception's a little off. He's only got one eye.
I've only got one eye.
I know that one eye. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
Chris, give him a big target.
I am a big target.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, right?
Oh, wait, did you do it?
You guys didn't see it. Okay, here we go.
No, we missed it. Can you do it again?
Yeah!
I'm flying back in slow motion.
Yeah.
Wow. And commenting as you go.
And the wrong direction.
All I could say is,
yeah,
thank you for taking your microphone with you.
Yeah. When you got here. Of course.
So, you're a consummate professional.
I do what I do.
All right. Yeah, and we're in tech of the episode. Can't you tell? It smells differently, and there's sand there everywhere.
It gets everywhere. It so coarse.
Chris, what do you think is the tech of the episode?
For me, it's all the cartwheeling kicking that Cruz is doing in this minute.
And he's really doing it.
And he's really doing it, yeah.
I agree.
Those are my words.
That's a good one. I will go with the I like the move where he grabs Dugre's arm and puts his leg on top of it, kind of like he's going to break it, but instead kicks him in the back of the head again.
Yeah.
I don't know what that move is. I like it.
It's called fighting dirty.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I agree with Chris. Just all those cartwheel kicks. I'm all in on that. Yeah.
It's the best technique.
Yeah. I was just happy to see the recurrence of my favorite character in this sequence, the helicopter. Showing up in that last moment. I mean, there's a little bit of him earlier in, but having them show up at the end was really made my heart soar.
And especially since we now know that Ambrose is definitely dead and will not come back.
That makes me breathe easier. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course.
Too. Yeah.
He's a goner.
End of story.
Let's wrap this episode up just like they're wrapping up the movie because Ambrose is dead. Nothing else can happen. All right, so we will come back tomorrow for our last episode with these guys, minute 115, on a Friday. Chris, thanks again for doing this. Thanks, Drew. Thanks, Charles. I almost said George. I don't know what
I can be George.
I was
thinking.
Yeah, I'm calling him George from now on.
All right. You do have a beard, so it's close enough. It's one of our other guys. Until tomorrow, you guys can find us at MinuteImpossible.com and on the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook and at MinImpossible on Twitter. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Charles.
I've been Drew.
This minute will self-destruct.
Yeah, I'm going to kick you in the face, Charles. Ha ha, sneak attack.
The shrapnel.
My eye.
Oh, no, I got that eye. Oh, we'll have to talk about that tomorrow.
See you next time on the show. We'll be right back.